Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, this is Joel and Barry from Sports of Ages, and we're back to talk about the final hour of sports.
I love the Drink of Ages commercial.
Yes, you do.
That dude is always hammered. Hey! That should just be his whole commercial. This should be the Drink of Ages commercial from now on. Hey, listen, this is John. Hey, look,
I'm drunk.
Listen,
so what?
Hey, listen to Drink of Ages. That should be like people would listen to that. Honest to God,
I'm drunk. Beautiful.
That should be
so what? You talk about people that know how to drink. I'm doing it on the air. I know what I'm doing.
That should be the whole commercial. Oh, I think that would be amazing. I want to cut. You know, I used to make fun of Barry Warner when he did the baseball beer and Barry.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
One time, AJ and I did a bananas bocce ball and Barry, but it was with me. And then he used to do the cold hard facts. Barry's cold hard facts. And so on Sundays, I would do Barry's warm soft lies on Houston game day.
Jeez.
So I should do a Drink of Ages spinoff. Yeah, I think that would be cool.
I think it would be cool too.
Actually, it is a have you ever listened
to the show? No,
yeah,
never.
It's not bad. I'm not going to lie. It's not bad.
Oh,
but because
and he's part not hammered.
Of it, no, well, by the end of the show,
well,
because they sit there and they drink. So it's just literally the slow demise of a sober person. And you got to listen to the show. I'm telling you, you'll enjoy it.
So essentially, you know all the different shows on radio and television that have always said to test, like, you know, drunk driving and their limits. And they do it once every, like, a year. It's essentially once a week.
Yeah.
So you can tell how quickly it takes for you to get drunk and then what tastes the best when you're getting drunk. So give it a shot. By the way, breaking news, Barry, and I know this is absolutely going to crush you. Jay Cutler's out for the year.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, wow.
I don't know why you think I'm such a Jay Cutler fan.
Because you know that I'm not, and you guys all hammered me saying he was better than that.
Oh, I don't see. This is the thing. Like, I don't remember
like
the
AJ
things.
AJ rode me like a horse without a saddle on it.
Yeah, it was
and AJ was a big Cutler fan.
Then I think
Jay Cutler's crap, although we both have talked about it in the hallway. We both would take him over Osweiler.
I think you need to direct that to AJ, because
I never
remember saying anything about, other than the fact that I wasn't a huge fan, but
you've made sure early on to remind me every time.
Are you writing?
Anything.
Do you keep a diary? Because I really don't remember
and
that.
I start each page with Dear Diary.
I really don't remember that. Like, you always bring up, like, remember that time you said that? I'm like, no, I don't. Like, I don't remember that
but
at
you
all.
You remember every time that I say anything that picks on you.
Do I?
Yeah, because you're always like, you guys didn't say that.
That's a horrible impression of
no,
me.
No, that was actually not that bad.
Yeah, is it pretty good?
Yeah.
Do it again.
No, I'm not going to do it again.
Do it again.
I'll lose my voice.
No, I know. That's why I want you to do it again.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it again. And then
Please.
Dak Prescott will be able to get behind center.
Please let me.
He sounded like Barry right before he's about to laugh.
And then the Snagglepuss laugh, which again would knock out my voice. But we know those are when techs are coming in against me.
Honestly, I didn't realize I laughed like Snagglepuss until you said that. And then I was like, holy crap, I really do.
About it,
no,
yeah.
I don't care. Come on, please. I have plenty to be self-conscious about. Laughing is not one of them. Everyone has a weird laugh.
This is the way to make a bet. And we don't make bets like this. But if you're going to come up with a bet, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James had a bet for the World Series. And obviously LeBron's going with Cleveland because his beloved Yankees, which he didn't want to admit, are his favorite team. They weren't in it. So he backed the home team and he went with the Indians. And Dwayne Wade, who's a Chicago guy, went with the Cubs. I don't care about the bet. I care about the pay. The greatest payoff in the world. LeBron James now has to go to the game on Friday night from the hotel to the bus to the locker room in a full head-to-toe Cubs uniform.
Oh, I like it.
That's
I like
very,
that.
Very
I like
good.
It.
Good bet.
Are we going to do that for the Texans and Packers?
If you'd like.
If the Texans win, you can never talk about the Packers
no,
again.
That's not even it. That's not
he thought you were going to do a gear. He was like, I'll wear Texans gear.
I know, right?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a gear thing, but
no.
No. That's not it.
No?
No.
Dang.
Absolutely not.
I was so close.
You really were.
Victory.
Do you have any Texans
grip.
Gear?
Like in your mind.
Who, me?
No, Joel.
I give it away a lot. Over the years, I've had it.
Because I've never seen you in it.
No, I will never wear it. But over the years, I've had it. And like my old roommate's the head trainer for the Texans.
You said that so nasty. Like, oh, I would never wear it.
I just.
What? See, that's the hometown team, Joel.
No, my hometown team is actually the Green Bay Packers.
Well, then you don't live in Green Bay.
Right.
You
and we've already been through all this. That I hope the Texans win in every week and any week except for the week they play the Green Bay Packers. But at the same time, it's just like we've had this discussion about what sweatshirts you wear, what colleges you wear, all this other thing.
Uh-huh.
The fact of the matter is if you're going to have a team, you back that team, and whether they win or lose or they're having a sucky year like the Packers are, it doesn't mean I'm going to change my team. And just because you change geographic locations of where you have a residence, if I was born and raised a Packer fan, I stay a Packer fan, and I am holding.
You can wear other teams' gear and still be a fan of the Packers.
I just don't believe that. I don't do that.
Really? It does depend on the fan.
Yeah.
I just don't do that. I don't mind.
And I can assure you that like if you gave me a free Packers t-shirt, a lot of people would call me out on it.
Like, yeah, if you gave me like a sweet Angels hat, I'd rock that hat.
I'd wear it.
I mean, I don't wear hats, but if I wore hats, I would rock that. If you gave me like a badass Colts shirt, I'd wear it. But it looked good. If it just had the stupid horseshoe on it, no. But like I don't have a problem with that.
See, and it all depends. I mean,
I'm gonna get you a badass Texans shirt, and you have to wear it.
No, I won't wear it.
Well, then you're just missed out on a free shirt, buddy.
That's all right.
I mean, Texans win, though. Joel has to do the entire show in the Drink of Ages voice.
If the Texans win, then I got to do it like my man Troy, and we will talk real good about ass water.
No, he said Osswater.
Same difference.
Honey Badger on Twitter said the show could be called Drink of Millennials. Chai latte low fat for first episode.
Oh, Nick, you could be on.
Yeah, I could totally be on.
Are you a millennial?
Oh, Nick loves chestnut.
I don't think I'm classified
anybody out there who wants to drop by with a chestnut praline latte.
Amazing.
That is
most amazing drink ever.
That is Nick's go-to drink.
Barry loves it secretly.
I swear to God, I have no idea.
How did you not know that it was his secret drink? Yes,
it wasn't my. It's not my secret drink. It's one of the holiday drinks that I ordered.
Your go-to drink.
It is my go-to drink.
See, it's his go-to drink. Chestnut praline latte.
Order it.
Do you drink it with your pinky up?
Kinda. Wait. Sometimes. No, I don't.
This is so embarrassing.
The voice is so perfectly apropos for this. Welcome to Starbucks. Can I take your order, Nick? What's that? You'd like a chestnut praline latte? What size would you like? Oh, a grande.
All right, we got
coming
go to
right
break.
Up.
look, now we got to go to break.
We got
to
go to break.
Hey, double.
Someone's getting sensitive.
Nick, you're
no, I'm not getting sensitive.
Nick, you're double chestnuts with a that praline is kinda latte weird, dude. Coming right up with extra foam.
It's not
foam.
Weird at all. Like, I don't mind a flavored coffee like a French vanilla or hazelnut.
Extra foam, plenty of cream.
Just, I use flavored like creamers. Like I'll have a caramel.
I'm gonna bring you a latte tomorrow.
Ice cream. Oh, you're gonna be not here tomorrow.
Wait, you're a caramel.
Why are you bringing in lattes the day I'm not here?
Jerk.
Or
said
Tuesday.
Carmel.
Who?
That's a city in California.
What am
it's
I supposed
Carmel.
To? Dude, I'm from Texas. We say.
What are you, Kurt Lowe now, Joel?
This is a mute point.
And so is this segment. We'll be right back. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and Nick for another 45 minutes, and we want to hear from you as well. 713-780-ESPN. You can chime in and be in on the conversation. Nick, I'll ask this question of you and Barry. We've talked a lot about football, but the Rockets play the Golden State Warriors tonight. That's a big game. They have not fared well in recent history against Golden State, but it's the new-look, new offensive Rockets against the extremely offensively powerful Golden State Warriors. Your outlook from both of you on that game tonight?
Pretty bleak.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I don't know. I don't follow point spreads on basketball very often, but I pulled up a little, like a quick little liner just to read about. Minus 12 is Golden State. That seems like that's.
I think that's low.
Really?
I'm not Fred and AJ. I'm not Fred and AJ.
I'm not either.
I would take the over.
But they're also a minus 800. which means you would have to bet $800 to win 100.
Get 100 bucks, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're giving them no chance.
What? But I agree with it, though, because you the Rockets would seemingly go into that game just trying to trade three-pointers with the Warriors.
So
this and was- they don't have the quality three-point shooting to be able to do that. They can just wear you out. Like, you know, if they're playing a Utah, or which they didn't play well against, but the Blazers or whatever, they can just wear you out with a three-point shot, and it just becomes just a numbers game where they just the sheer volume of shooting. But you can't do that against the Warriors. They will match you shot for shot.
Well,
and
can't be
and out-shoot you.
So because of the Rockets' offense, they lead the league in taken and made threes. They're about 40 ahead of the Warriors, but the thing is that the quality of shot and the quality of shooters weighs heavily in Golden State's favor.
Big time.
Well, not only that, but if you think about how many missed three-pointers that the Warriors would convert into made 3 points.
Shots. Like with offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and it's that's where the difference comes from. Yeah, you would think that because they lead the league in that stat and have a 40-point difference over the Warriors, that they would be a lot better. The Warriors have lost two games all year. They're 16-2. Why would the Rockets be 11-7? Because of all the misses, that volume tends to backfire when you have so many missed 3-point shots.
And it's interesting because with the game tonight against the Warriors, tomorrow night they finish the road trip, which could be another successful road trip. They won the first two games of the trip. They lost at Utah. They got the last two games tonight against the Warriors, tomorrow night against the Nuggets. But after the game against the Nuggets, that wraps up that hellacious 14 road games trip, out of the first 20 of the season. Mm-hmm. That's when they'll get a real home heavy December and into January, and they'll be able to make up even more ground. You look at everything that I've just said and the way they've played really, really well on the road. And like I said to you guys, they've beaten teams that in the past they've struggled with, even though they were supposed to beat them. They took care of business in a lot of games that we said were against teams that they had to beat, like Portland, like Utah when they played here, like Oklahoma City, where they let a game get away, but they played them really tough. So they've done a lot of good things, but it's how they... The big thing now is, how do they transition from this tough part of the schedule to, again, taking care of business in every game at home, where it's so important to keep the home floor? We saw the Spurs team that a year ago only lost one game on their home floor, and this year have already lost three or four. So it's going to be hyper important that now when they transition to their home game schedule, they got to take care of business and they got to hold the home court.
They've not been known to do that. And that becomes the real kind of sticking point for this team is you can go out and have this offense, but again, if you're not doing the day-to-day things that the elite teams in this league do, you're never going to be taken seriously. And that's why the Spurs, like you said, the Spurs, the Warriors, even the Clippers to a certain extent this year are winning the games they're supposed to win. And yeah, the Spurs, and the Warriors have dropped a couple already. But you're supposed to win.
And the Clippers for their hot start and how much I was promoting them, they've went through that stretch too, where they looked past some teams and they lost to the Nets. They've lost to some teams they should have beat.
But the James Harden Rockets has been that team that they don't take care of business when they just have nights off where they don't beat the teams they're supposed to.
Right.
And I think that speaks a lot about James Harden as a player, and it reflects on the team as a whole because he seems to take nights off, or he seems to just...
Yeah, he can't have an off night against the Warriors.
I don't know. If you guys until you've had a really severe case of Tony Allenitis, you have no idea how much that can debilitate you.
Yeah, well, but I saw a thing that said
You do understand that, right?
No.
That's when he normally takes a night off.
Oh.
He stubs his toe very hard when Tony Allen or PJ Tucker
are waiting
in the wings.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. But I saw a thing that said even though Westbrook has bad nights, he still is helping the Thunder win games.
That's why he's the MVP.
But yeah. But that's the difference. I mean, that's really where the elite players start to separate themselves from James Harden because it's like you said earlier in the year, unless he's really pissed off or embarrassed because of what people are saying about him, you sometimes have to question the level of effort that he puts forth night in and night out. Not overall, body of work speaks for itself, but night in and night out on the games when no one's watching because it's the West Coast and sometimes he just kind of
I like what Joe said about the shot selection, and I think when he does play pissed off, he does it when he's
Well, that's
shooting shots
said.
That are not good.
Like, and again, the interesting thing is, because I said all along, he's going to have an MVP season because of all of that, because of all the scrutiny, because the offense sets up beautifully. But next year is going to be the real key, because all that scrutiny is going to be gone, and everybody's going to again anoint him as one of the best five players in the league. And then it's going to be like, where's the outside motivation coming from now? Because the guys like Kobe and LeBron and these other guys that have been great for all these years, they don't need external motivation. They motivate themselves every year. They hire Hakeem so that they can learn low post moves, or they work on their game and they work on other elements. Dwayne Wade, perfect example. On the downside of his career, already a Hall of Famer. What'd he do this year? In the offseason, he shot 500 threes a day because they said he couldn't shoot threes, and it was a part of his game that was lacking, and now he's a damn good three-point shooter. So those are the kind of things. And the thing that worries me the most about Harden is he still doesn't have all that much help. For all the help that we say that Gordon and Anderson have provided him, we also know that their second unit can't sustain a lead when he sits down. We know that Anderson still hasn't been what they expected him to be consistently. Gordon's been phenomenal, and we don't know if they can stay healthy. God forbid he gets hurt at any point in this season, and it could ruin the entire season for the Rockets because they just don't have the kind of depth with the kind of go-to guys that James provides. We always laugh about the fact that, you know, a team needs two or three superstars, but in order to have two or three, you have to have one. Right now, they've addition by subtraction. They got rid of Dwight, but they didn't add another superstar.
Yeah.
They added some shooters.
Yeah. But I will say this. I was a bit skeptical of starting Patrick Beverley, but I do like the way that it shapes up now by bringing, you know, Gordon off the bench. I do like it. I told you, from a defensive perspective,
it's contagious the way Pat plays.
And it seems to be more effective, and it does give them a little bit of scoring off the bench, which they would be lacking if Beverley was your first option at point guard and, you know, who you bring in at shooting guard after Gordon. So, yeah, I do like it, and I think that'll help them in the long run as well. So,
and I think, you know, like Coach McHale was going off the other night on before the Utah game saying that he really loved what Utah has done in terms of adding a few veterans with a great young roster.
Man.
And he said they're the team that's going to fight for five or six in the West. And when looking at the Rockets, I stay with what I said all along. With the start that they've gotten off to, it's excellent. But they have to maintain it for 82 games. And at the end of the year, I still think they're fighting for 6, 7, 8. And that's not what people around here want to hear, and that's not what their marketing campaign wants you to believe. But the fact of the matter is, like you said, Barry, the Clippers are playing at a level that you have to respect.
Yep.
And you know the Spurs are still the Spurs, and you know that the Warriors are the Warriors. And ironically, when we talk about a team like Golden State, the funny thing is, say their record again.
Yeah, 16-2.
They lost to the Lakers twice.
Yeah.
And people said, oh my God, this team is not what we thought it was when Durant joined them. They're going to have all kinds of problems. I said I thought it would take some time to figure it out. But oh, by the way, I never would have guessed they were 16-2 to start with their first 18 games. That shows you just how good and talented they are. And they're only going to get better.
Well, they lost to the Spurs and the Lakers.
That was okay, that's right. Lost. Spurs opening night. Yeah. And then the Lakers beat them. Yeah. And but also made sure that they blasted the Lakers twice to make sure that the statement had been made.
Back to back, And that's the thing. And that's another surprise for me is I actually have enjoyed watching these Laker games that when I catch one. That's a fun team to watch, man. Do you think they make the playoffs? You think they make the playoffs?
I think they're going to fade fast, and I think the fade's already started. But
it's good, though. I mean, these young kids, I like the fact that Walton is just letting them play. That was his philosophy all along, was just go out and play, and as we go, we'll find things. We'll make
Travis is a Laker fan. Travis loves watching them too, but my thing is, I still don't see them running any offense. I see it like playground ball with all this young talent. At some point, in order to be considered a playoff team and also to compete on a regular basis with the best in the NBA, you do have to run a structured offense from time to time. I mean, as much as you want to say about a helter-skelter pace for the Rockets, they're structured to it because D'Antoni has a system and where guys have to be on the floor in order to make sure they execute it correctly. That's why the Rockets have been successful.
Yeah, and they're 500. Russell's been out, but when he comes back, I don't know. If he stays healthy, I don't know if they fade. They might pull a rabbit out of the hat and make the 8 seed. I have faith. You got to have faith, Joe. I'm with Trap on this one.
At one point, it was like almost surreal that they missed the playoffs. And now it's like, well, they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, of course. It's the old Lakers versus the new Lakers. And at the same time, we can get to this too. Russell Westbrook, when he wins the MVP, whether the Thunder make the playoffs or not, you cannot take away an MVP from a guy that's putting the numbers up that he's putting up, especially just take the triple doubles for one, but then say he's doing things that haven't been done in the league in like 32 years. Since there were 14 teams and not a lot of competition, pretty hard to argue with that one. Oh, maybe it's not. Barry's here. Hey, we're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN
97.5.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, Nick, till 4.
Hey, did you read Richard's tweet about the mocha frap on air, or was that just off air?
No, it was just talking? Me and you.
Okay.
Adding more fodder.
Got some Starbucks support to that.
Yeah. Somebody said mocha frap
fluffy
with
Nick love.
Whip topping a chocolate syrup. It's so damn good. Go on, Nick. That was from Richard.
My man.
On Twitter.
So, Richard, what does it feel like to drink a Big Mac?
Now, Hefe said, I'm a millennial, but identify as a Gen X. Stop that, Caitlin Hefe. He's like, I was born this way. It's not a choice.
Oh, that's right. He's El Jefe on Twitter.
Yeah, he's Josh.
What he calls.
OG Took told me, hey, damn, I'm missing the show, but my new shrink is fine. And I said, Pixar didn't happen, so he sent me a pic. Good job, bro. And then El Jefe again. My guess is the Spurs are trying to only lose one road game. Stop it.
Spurs aren't as good as you thought they were.
Yeah. Honey Badger tweeted out and it's like, Barry, I love how Joel trashes you right before break so you can't defend yourself.
When did I do that?
Like every segment.
But you kind of do it. It's like a little, it's not really a trash.
It's
like
on
a,
the way out.
It's like a jab.
It's like a parting shot.
He punches right at the bell. Ping! All right,
if I get the last shot before the bell, I'm taking it.
Yeah, sure. I'm okay with it.
That's why you won't let me run the show for a day.
It has nothing to do with it.
We know now.
We do need cameras in here, though, because your face is as red as your mic screen right now.
What?
It was. When you get a little fired up and excited.
I don't get
You look like a siren.
I'm fat. That's what fat people do. They get red and sweat.
It has nothing to do with your overweightness.
Dude, people are going to think you're like the biggest guy in the world. You're really not that big.
You really aren't. You're a strong safety in a defensive tackle's body.
Honey Badger said, this is your segment, Barry. Tell him, and it's a picture of that dude going, look at me. I'm the captain now. I should do that to you. Just go Somali pirate on the show and take over.
That reminds me. What was the line the other day that someone tweeted that you were going to use?
Huh?
There was a line like that you were going to use. You were going to mention on the air the other day. That from some say we didn't.
I don't know. There's a lot of lines I was going to use that. Yeah, I don't. Either I censor myself
of a
or
strong
use
comedian
censor
that
me.
Has so much to go to that he leaves so much on the cutting room
all
floor.
Right. Hey,
keep going.
No, I was just going to read this.
Please.
Noteworthy, newsworthy blurb that Nick mentioned.
Okay.
About the Indiana football coach.
Oh, yes.
IU University will announce the dismissal of football coach Kevin Wilson at a news conference at 6, according to sources in the athletic department. That was on IndyStar.com. And Nick, you said you read somewhere that it was because of
player mistreatment. So I don't know exactly what it was, but I do know that at
Mike
least
Leach on him, sent him out to the woodshed.
That's exactly what I was going to say, too.
Yeah, I do know at least 5 players were interviewed in regards to the coach
good.
Potentially mistreating him.
Let me ask you guys something on that, too, when you talk about Mike Leach, because Mike Leach famously was the one that put Craig James's kid in a telephone closet.
Sent him out to the woodshed or whatever the hell it was.
That got to be a big thing. And Craig James, by the way, for getting in the middle of all that, who was a broadcaster and a politician, has fallen off the planet. But at some point, not that anybody was Bo Schembechler or Woody Hayes, but it is not that you want your child abused, but football is a tough sport, and a lot of coaches have different ways. Where are you guys on the whole thing in terms of, like, you know, Woody Hayes used to grab a face mask or, you know, really get in a guy's grill? We're kidding ourselves if we don't think that when there's no one around, these coaches aren't cussing and challenging their kids to try and bring the best out of them. And college coaches and pro coaches are no different. Greg Williams, notorious for all the things that he used to do, including the bounty. And if you think the bounty was that severe and you think that it was like a random one-time thing, I'm sure it happened across the league. It's just part of a violent sport that is not going to get any less violent as long as the powers that be don't try to wussify it anymore. It is what it is.
It's always, and I say this, it's always been a manly sport, if that makes sense, right? Like it's a man's man sport. It's a guy's sport. It's one of those sports where you know you're going to get cussed out. You know you're going to get, slapped around by the coach a little bit on the helmet. Nothing like where he's going to physically assault you, but I mean, dude, even in junior high, I remember getting my face mask grabbed when I screwed up.
Yes.
And the coach would shake your head a little bit and yell at you. Not like shake a baby where they, but like just, you know, get in your grill a little bit. And I mean, that was just, that was football. It was different. Yeah, you got yelled at. I mean, no one ever went Bobby Knight on me in basketball, but you got yelled at in basketball. But there was that there was that extra level, I guess, of discipline.
Well, it also goes back to, from a coaching perspective, you know that there are different ways to coach different players. Some kids, in order to reach them, you got to tough love them. Some kids, you got to stroke them and you got to, not literally, but you've got to, you know, treat them with kid gloves. Otherwise, they're going to tank on you.
Yeah.
But every coach knows the buttons to push to get the most out of their players. At least good coaches do. And here's the other thing. I want to get you guys' opinion on this too. What's, how you draw the line. And like as a parent, I would say I'm okay if from time to time my kid gets a little tough love in the fact that they're challenged a little bit. Coaches right. yell at them. You know, that's fine. But then you get into, and I'm trying to phrase this the right way, but you get into the difference between that or turning the cheek like you don't know.
Well, I don't have kids, but if I were to send my cat in.
With a helmet?
To get some training.
Yeah.
And they were teaching the cat and yelled at the cat.
You're just taking this way the wrong way.
That's fine. But if they started slapping the cat and swatting it on the butt because it wasn't doing it, then I got a problem with it.
Well,
now, if they diddle the cat, then I'm really going to be mad.
No cat diddling.
But, no, I mean, honestly, yeah, there's got to be a rational level for people where it's all right to yell.
So Mike Rice was the guy, the college coach that they showed that actually was kicking balls at players and like kicking them and, you know, and
that's
screaming.
That's too far.
That's too far.
And
that's too far.
It's similar here. It's just to add a few more, like a little bit more of a perspective for our listeners. One player suffered a concussion in practice.
Oh, that's not good.
Was rushed back.
Wait, concussion from the coach?
No, he just suffered a concussion in practice, okay. Uh-huh. And then he was rushed back to workouts, and then his symptoms went haywire again. That's one. Okay. One guy had to play through a leg injury. News.
So far, these could go 50-50.
Yeah. So
these
far, sound it's like, is the coach pushing him? Yeah.
Kevin Wilson once ripped my buckled helmet off my head, spit on my jersey, and punched me in my chest during
now
practice.
Now you're talking so now about that. Now you're crossing
the line. Spinning and the punching is too far. Ripping it off my head. Was he putting it on? And he was like, no, I told you you're not going in, and knocked the helmet out.
Yeah, and that's from a student.
You know what
athlete,
I mean? You don't know. But yeah, the punching and the spitting, that's right. That line. That's right. That. You got to have rational common sense to say, you know what, I can yell at a guy and use the F word and, you know, tell him I think he's the P word because he's not running tough or whatever.
Well, it goes
and that's football to me.
Right.
Yeah.
When you start slapping and punching and kicking and then there's, you know, that whole physical thing. You get these millennials that are like, this coach is hurting my feelings.
I was watching one of the old Hard Knocks from this year with the Rams last night.
Yeah.
And Junior Seau's nephew was trying to make the Rams. And he had a quarterback sack. And he let the quarterback get out of his grasp. And the quarterback ended up getting a first down. So at practice the next day, he had to take the tackling dummy. And he had to grasp onto it and roll with it until the coach blew the whistle.
Oh.
And he made sure he had to do that six times in a row.
Wow.
And Seau knew why he did it.
Yeah.
And to motivate kids, like when you say, if you don't do this, you're going to run tomorrow. I mean, I think that's effective coaching.
Yep. Hey, we've got like 15 texts from the same guy.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure we get to this. It was at 3:10, but he kept asking, what is the name of the what's the web address of the fantasy guy that you guys had on
the gamerwall.com
thegamerwall.com
or at Twitter is at thegamerwall,
correct?
Yes. Okay.
There you go.
So I just wanted to make sure we got that in.
Now can I also ask this then, kind of on the same subject line, but we brought this up a long time ago in the what if scenario before we knew that it was actually a real scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Tillman Fertitta was very outspoken yesterday, and unless he knows more facts, he would not consider that Art Briles should be considered to return to University of Houston as the head coach. Where are you guys on if U of H would consider Art Briles, or should he be considered to go back to U of H?
Hell no.
I'm against it 100%.
He should never be allowed to coach again.
Period.
See,
should have to go get
I questioned aloud if I said that. Is that too far? Is
no.
that too much of a death sentence?
Hell no.
Until we know every fact of how much he actually knows.
They shouldn't even consider it.
We are talking about rape. We're talking about ruining people's lives
nah.
by your negligence. allegedly. No. In no way, shape, or form should he be allowed to go back to the position where this occurred and run a program where this occurred. I just, there's, it's, to me, it's very clear cut. There's no, there's, if he was fired because of it, he should never be hired again.
Let me put it to you, there's some red flags you can overlook in somebody's resume. That's just not one of them. That's how I see it. That's just how I see it.
So, because, and Lightsway, that's why I threw it out for you guys, because you look at the Paterno situation, it still isn't going away, and it may never, obviously the talk of it'll never go away, but the program, the coaching staff, the one redheaded coach just got awarded another $9 million because he blew the whistle on it yesterday. But you look at that, and Paterno said he didn't know, but Briles then thinks that it's okay to say the same thing. And I know everybody says, well, more facts have to come out. But look, for a lot of reasons, U of H is on the rise. They've done a lot of great things with that program. Football is prevalent as a major part of their athletics now. Again, I think it would do more detriment than it ever could do good.
Sure.
Even if Briles came back and got the team offense and everything playing like he did the first time, he had his shot. He chose to move on to another location and another opportunity. It didn't work out for him.
I think the Cougs have established themselves enough to where they can get another up-and-coming coach and still win 9-10 games, 8 games. They're still a winning team.
And I agree,
I don't think
you.
They need Art Briles to do that.
But isn't Lane Kiffin the kind of guy that has the same possibilities to take that program down as much as he could lift it up?
Perhaps.
Because he's also
compared to Art Briles?
No, not compared to Art Briles.
Oh.
But now you move on from that and say Lane Kiffin is supposedly a candidate and is going to be considered with all of his track record of negligence and NCAA violations and otherwise.
Yeah, but the violations, everybody's doing those.
Is there too much risk for the possible reward if Lane Kiffin is your head coach?
I don't know. I mean, everybody. I think more people are doing it than get caught. So there's risk. There's probably risk inherent in most of these coaches in that regard.
We only got one segment left, but if you want to let us know what you think, 713-780-ESPN, you can chime in and let us know if it's a risk-reward situation and is the risk too high for the reward. Lane Kiffin, would you consider Art Briles? Should he ever coach again? Those are just conversational points I throw out there. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and Nick until 4 o'clock, and wouldn't you know it, the voice got a little boost at the end here, just when I didn't need it most. But I appreciate you guys getting me through another show, as it seems to be getting better, but it is not fun. And Bear, you said you had some
Some text and tweets. Somebody said wants to know, did your coach shake your bear? That was from T-Bone. Question.
Did they say Joel?
Yeah, they did. I swear to God, that's how the text reads. It says, "Aw, Joe-EL."
Yes.
Joel.
Yes.
Did your coach shake your bear? That was from T-Bone. I'm just reading it as is.
This from a guy named T-Bone.
Well,
which is something more than, I'm sure he's experienced more than in a car.
Another text says from 432, screw the violations. He's ruined every program he's ever gone to, just wins and losses. So talking about Art Briles. Lane Kiffin's an assistant coach, should never, ever have another job head coaching. And then if
the evidence— I agree with that. I think Kiffin, from the standpoint of all the crap that he's pulled and tried to pull, I don't know that he should be front and center for any head coaching gigs.
And then another text said, okay, if the evidence shows that Art Briles knew exactly what was going on and swept all of it under the rug for the football program, he should not only never get another job coaching, he should go to jail. That was from Flat Top. And I agree. I mean, that's why I said allegedly it's got to play out. I don't know all the ins and outs of the where they're at currently. But, yeah, the fact of the matter is, and I said that just for the guy that tweeted out saying, Ryan Addison, who said, fact of the matter is spoken way too much. So now I'm going to use it all the time. But
me
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you can't give a guy like that a second chance. There's certain things that I don't think you should get a second chance for. And condoning or turning the other, you know, looking the other way when people come to you with rape allegations is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I completely agree on that. And by the way, my good friend Chad Shanks, Nick, who you know, just texted me and said, did you guys just say cat diddling on the air?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay, Barry did. Yeah. There you go. I just want to clarify because I don't remember it. I would have claimed it if I did it, but I didn't.
OU Mike said it was tough when I played football. For messing up, you either got waterboarded or had to have sex with an ugly fat girl.
Come on.
That's what he said.
That's a bit
much. Who was the mascot, by the way?
Now, we do know that Mark Grace's...
Definitely went to U of H.
We know Mark Grace is a definition Shasta of a slump buster, right?
Who?
Mark Grace, the former first baseman for the Cubs, said when the team or a guy was in a slump,
yeah,
that he needed to have a slump buster.
Ah, I see what you're saying.
Yes. The good old slump buster.
Yes.
Let's that's leave a well-known thing. That's been it around for a while.
It actually was more well-known than people wanted to admit.
That's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
That saying?
Not just the saying.
Well, then, yeah. You ever partake in a slump buster?
No, sir.
Don't lie.
Not that I will say on the air.
Don't.
No, see, that's not my thing. Now, some people, that's my thing. If you've seen the movie Summer Catch, that's a thing.
Chubby Chasers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's just not my thing.
I can see.
I got stories for you.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I do. Not ready for on air, but I got stories for
good.
You.
Well, we've got time after the show.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I am fortunate enough to have never partaked in a drunken one-night stand with a big girl.
I have not either.
Nor a slump buster. It's not my thing. I don't know. I would just rather go without than to participate.
I would agree
Some guys like AJ would. AJ Hawkins.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, please. You don't know AJ.
I think AJ would.
You don't know AJ like I know AJ. Trust me.
Based on what AJ said off the air yesterday, I think AJ would more have a romantic evening with himself than a slump buster.
Well, he would do that and still sleep with the fat girl. Trust me when I tell you this.
Boy.
I know AJ Hoffman. I'm telling you.
Intimately.
Yeah. Well, not like that. By the way, I just want to point out, and we'll go to the, who's the caller?
Tony.
We'll go to Tony in a second. I'm really getting sad, you guys, because I can't, my eyesight is going. I'm officially an old man now because I have to do the phone if I have my glasses on.
Oh, yeah?
Like far away now.
Like,
have you seen an actual eye doctor to get an actual prescription
for
glasses?
Yeah, that's why I have glasses.
Oh, yeah, see, I don't. I just have them for reading.
Yeah, no, it made me think.
Plus ones at
thank
Walgreens.
God I don't do like porn on the phone, because then I would never be able to look at it. It would ruin it for me. Because then I would I'd be the old dude.
So you do it on your iPad.
You've referenced
the
voice and the fact that you could only today. In a nutshell, you referenced that you would only last 2 minutes on the phone doing phone sex.
Okay.
And that you would also struck. Yes, you did.
Did I say that?
Yes, you did, actually. But you said because you'd have to do the sexy voice for that long.
But then again, I don't listen to the show. So
right, exactly. You don't even listen to us. So then the other thing is you've referenced if you had to do phone text.
Yeah, that's what the
phone
kids
sex
do.
Texting.
No, sexting. No. They watch porn. The kids nowadays, these kids today.
How do you know?
Watch porn on their phones.
How do you know,
phones.
Barry? Because this is scary.
I guarantee you
it's
a thing.
You only have cats. How do you know?
I guarantee you it's a thing. And do either of you have 3D television? Do you have the 3D glasses? You know they have 3D porn?
No.
If you get the glasses, you can look at Pornhub in 3D. That's what the kids are telling me.
Is that what the kids are telling you? Is that right?
Yeah, let's go to Tony.
Tony, we need to shift gears in a hurry. You want to talk about Coach Browse? What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Tony?
Without a whole lot, man. I was listening to you guys talking about Coach Browse. I'm sitting up here. He did a good job for us the first time around. He went to Baylor and all of that because he, you know, thought it was a better avenue for him.
Well, financially it was.
How should he be held responsible for what went on there? Because right now we have a situation where the guy with the sacks, the banker, that was over all of that. Now he's leading the whole thing so far as our economy. We think it's great, and the economy is booming. The stock went up, 40% because of that guy. But Art Briles is being held responsible for the entire program. And his assistant coaches should have been telling him what's going on. He can't be accountable
for everything that's going on. He hired the assistant coaches.
Tony, first of all, that's like, when you're the head of the program, it's still, you are the ultimate person responsible for that. And from what I've read, these women went to him directly and said it was happening, and he did nothing about it based on the things that I've read. So
no, it was not directly. You can't say that it was a direct deal because he didn't know. His assistant coaches are the ones that should have let him know what was going on. He didn't know. It's no way he could have known.
No, that's called passing the buck. And I'm telling you, The things that I've read from the people that are involved have said that these females have said they went to him directly.
Yeah, and you mentioned the entire program. This was specific to the football program.
Yeah. The female was dating a player or was around a player and she was raped by him and went to Art Briles directly, who said he would do something and he didn't. And then she went to the police and the school and everybody else. And that's how it came to light.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see how you can be a coach of that program, especially Art Briles, and after he built that resume and then headed into Baylor and not know about something like that. I just don't believe it.
You can't just say, well, I rely on my assistant coaches to tell me these things. At the end of the day, you are responsible for it. It is your job. And if you're turning a blind eye or you're ignorant to the fact, then that is your problem.
Art Briles is going to want the power, is going to want everything to be cleared through him. I think he knew.
I think the only way Art Briles coaches again is in the NFL, because the NFL, because it's money.
I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole in the NFL. Advertisers would pull their advertising in a heartbeat.
I'm not sure that they would.
But by the way, Better Call Joel just validated. He said, as a high school teacher, I've caught kids looking at porn on their phones multiple times. Daddy knows. That sounded weird.
Nick, you know why, Barry?
That sounded so weird, Nick. He just said Daddy knows. After referencing
what children. You never called yourself daddy?
After referencing what kids are looking at when he doesn't have children.
You don't call yourself daddy?
No.
To Lisa, you don't be like, come here, sit on daddy's lap.
No, sir.
You don't do that?
Come here. No, sir.
Come tell daddy.
No, sir.
Come. No?
No.
Oh, I do.
I'm sure the schoolgirl outfit is very popular you, too.
That's how you get the ladies revved up. You call yourself daddy. Make sound like a pimp. I'm telling you, I got this all figured out, Joel.
When we start talking about the age of these ladies, that's when we've really gone too far.
Now you're going too far.
Because you are the daddy.
No.
Okay, for Daddy and Joel and Nick, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you tomorrow. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.